Welcome back into 1600 ESPN on a snow day Wednesday. It's a wrestling Wednesday. I'm going to talk a little wrestling with Eli McCown from the Des Moines Register. Got a couple big duels coming up this weekend. We're going to focus in particular on Iowa State and UNI coming up Sunday, but we have, of course, Iowa and Minnesota. I'm staring at our replica Floyd of Rosedale trophy here in the 1600 ESPN studios. They don't award the pig for wrestling, but maybe they should. We'll talk about that with Eli as well here on this Wednesday edition of the show. Eli, I know you're a busy guy this time of year. It's only going to get busier from here, and appreciate you taking some time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Staying busy, but thankfully just staying inside, keeping away from the snow, and staying warm today.
Absolutely. That's the name of the game for most of us here across the state of Iowa, but lots of wrestling to talk about. Like I said, we'll touch on Iowa, Minnesota later on in the segment, but wanted to have you on to talk Iowa State, UNI. We talk about Iowa, Iowa State, then we had you on to preview the Cy-Hawk duel all the way back in November. But, you know, when you talk about in-state rivalries, this is a pretty darn good one as well between the Cyclones and the Panthers. What's your read on the state of the rivalry before we dive into specifics, Eli?
Yeah, it was really interesting kind of catching up with both coaches. Usually Coach Dresser over the last couple of years does this little emoji demonstration to kind of poke fun over at UNI. He didn't do it this year because they left South Dakota State on Friday, and he was kind of like, you know, we can't sell them short because South Dakota State's a heck of a team. There's a lot of Hawkeye fans know. A couple guys went over there, and they've got a nice little squad too. But they're excited for it. You know, Doug Schwab, he's been making this a big emphasis to try and set a record there this weekend on Sunday afternoon for this duel. They're hoping to pack the McLeod Center. It should be a fun one. You know, I think this is one where there's a lot of respect and kind of friendliness between the two, but on that day, they get chippy. There was a couple chippy matches last year, especially at 157, where things got a little heated, and it's a really fun rivalry to be a part of because there's a lot of respect between the two, but they're not afraid to let it fly either. So it's going to be a good one on Sunday.
Let's dive into the specifics. We'll start with Iowa State. I know injuries have been really the headline. Several high-profile injuries have dominated really the storylines for them this year. But even looking at the record, they put together a fine season, at least record-wise. They had the ranked win over Pittsburgh last weekend in what I believe was the final home duel over at Hilton Coliseum in Iowa State. Over in Ames. How do you assess where the Cyclones are at this part of the season as the regular season starts to wind down?
Yeah, I mean, they're still, you know, I think with this season, their kind of mentality is, look, you can fold your arms and complain about where you are with the injuries, or you can just try and move on, right? Like, that you can only do so much. And this past weekend against Pittsburgh, they all had all freshmen, sophomores, redshirt sophomores in the lineup. A lot of young guys are getting a lot of opportunities right now, but look, I mean, the top of the lineup still has a lot of these lightweights. They have a lot to be excited about. Kyson Terracina is going to be out for this duel. He's a senior. They're expecting him back for the postseason. But he's been, you know, a guy of inconsistency, but has had some high moments and beaten some guys, and they're hoping that they can get him ready, get him turned around, and have a good NCAAs with him. Evan Frost is probably a top 533-pounder in the country. His brother, Jacob, I think, you know, whenever you talk to Iowa State, they're like, we can't tell these two apart, not just because they're identical twins, but they wrestle exactly the same. They have the same talent level, same skill level, and they both are capable of those same things. And everyone nationally, I think, is starting to figure that out about Jacob Frost when he went and beat Dagan Jameson against Oklahoma State the other weekend. And he's got a lot of capability, and he's a guy who can definitely make the podium come March. Pinero Johnson, he was a Big 12 champ 2 years ago. I think people forgot about him after he sat out a year, but he's ranked, I think, sixth in the country right now, or at least in the top eight, having a good year. And then you have Cody Chittum, who was one of the top recruits in the country and kind of still figuring some things out. You know, he's dealt with some injuries, but he's got a lot of talent, and he's got the capability to beat anybody. He's got a win over Ja'Cory Teamer in his career over at Iowa when he used to be at Arizona State. So the top of this lineup's got a lot to, you know, be excited about and a lot to compete with. It's more so the bottom of this lineup where injuries has really hurt with younger Bastida, Connor Uten, Guy Tan's been in and out. Evan Bachman's been dealing with illness and a little things here or there. He may or may not wrestle this weekend. And Christian Carroll's obviously left the program as of now. So they're going to have to get off to a hot start in this duel, you know, and get a lot of wins early because UNI's got a really deep team across the lineup. But you know, the top of this lineup is something to be excited about. And if they can get started there, it'll give them a chance late.
You mentioned you and I, not much more needs to be said. You could just look at them on the record sheet, 12-1, fourth in the coaches poll that came out earlier this week. I know we touched on them briefly in one of our past conversations, Eli, just how that program has really, you know, kind of embraced each other. It's kind of a breath of fresh air in the current world of college athletics, where not a lot of guys are leaving. You know, they're all kind of banded together and really kind of a band of brothers up there in Cedar Falls. And this is one of the top teams in the country for a reason, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they just have, I mean, the depth of guys that they've had, and I mean, for them to keep all of them around was, you know, just, I don't think it was any kind of surprise to anybody from the team, and it wasn't like a surprise to me, but I think nationally, when you look at how everything else happens in this current college landscape, it is a surprise. You don't see a lot of guys, you know, Ryder Downey as a redshirt freshman is one win away from making the podium. And then, you know, that's usually a guy that programs start to look at. And I don't think there was ever going to be a doubt in Ryder Downey's mind about coming back. I mean, Parker Kekeisen wins a national title. I mean, he could have had any program he wanted to be at and any dollar amount he wanted, he could have went and found, but he didn't. He likes it there at UNI. And down the lineup, it's stories of that, right? I mean, you look at Julian Farber and Corey Land at 33, those two guys really, really talented. Cale Happel's been there for multiple years. He's looking to become a first-time All-American, but it's been right on the doorstep for a long time. Colin Rebuto, I mean, he takes an Olympic red shirt last year, gets injured along the way, and becomes a father all in the process. It would have been easy for him to walk away, but he's a guy right now that's wrestling well for him and could compete for a podium spot at 49. Downey's probably a top-five guy in the country. Thompson had an injury year last year, and he was able to compete at NCAAs, but not to the level he wanted. He's been a top 20 guy for them this year. Dima made a run. He was one win away from being an All-American, and he's having a, you know, good year beating guys like Cade DeVos and Wyatt Volker and Lance Runyon. I mean, Lance Runyon, this is a guy who started as a 74-pounder. When he got there, he's wrestling heavyweight for him, and he's top 15 in the country, and he's been really good at it, even if he is a little undersized. So this team, every weight, I mean, I really do think they'll send 10 to nationals, and that's a big step. I think they have just as good a depth as anybody. They have a great dual team, and they're a hard out for anybody in the country right now.
Eli McCown from the Des Moines Register talking a little Iowa State, you and I, and we'll get to Iowa, Minnesota here in just a bit. I know you wrote about it at the Register's website and in the Des Moines Register, so I won't ask you to give away all the trade secrets or all your opinion. Want people to go to the Register and read your work, Eli, but what do you think this comes down to on Sunday? Who has the edge between the Cyclones and Panthers up at Cedar Falls?
You and I will have the edge. They are who I'm predicting to win this duel. And I think, you know, that'd be the first time since before COVID. It's been about, I think, four or five matchups since they've been able to come away with a victory. And when the last time they won, it was in the West Gym. And the West Gym is no longer operational now and has been bulldozed. So it's been a while, but this is one where they firmly have the advantage. If Iowa State's going to have a chance, like I said, they're going to have to start hot. They're going to need wins at 25, but the toss-up, 41 between Jacob Frost and Cale Happel, which I look at as a toss-up. 49 could be tough. 57, I mean, Chittum's lost that match twice. Can he get that back? I mean, they've been tight a couple of times. I look at 65, you know, Aiden Riggins. He's won five of his last six after a slow start, but he's looked a lot better. Can he compete with at 65? I think, you know, with Jack Thompson, MJ Gaetan and Jared Sima wrestle very, very similar styles. They go for the dramatics. They're big and getting turns, back points, getting in scrambles. So that's going to be kind of one of those matches where there's one sequence and it determines it all. But I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, UNI has the bigger chance for bonus points than this as well. I think you look at Parker Kekeisen, his final duel at the McLeod Center. I just have a hard time thinking he's going to do anything but the spectacular as he's done his whole career. I think he'll have bonus points, maybe Tech fall there. It's kind of hard for him. It's hard to think that he wouldn't get that. And at 97, you know, Iowa State, that's probably their biggest hole on their lineup right now as they're trying to figure out who to fill the Christian Carroll void, and why Volker's having a heck of a season for him. And I think there could be some bonus points there. So Iowa State's going to have to win a lot early, and they may have to win as many as 6 to have a chance in this duel, considering the bonus points that UNI is going to have available to him.
Well, that's happening Sunday. A couple days ahead of that is Iowa up at Minnesota in the Twin Cities. What, number 3 versus number 6 in the latest coaches poll here this week? What's your read on Hawkeyes and Gophers on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be such a great duel. You know, Minnesota, I think, was kind of underlooked coming into the year, but they have just a tremendous roster, you know, up and down, several top 5 guys. And obviously they're led by the man, the myth, the legend, Gable Steveson, who's been nothing short of incredible in his career, obviously. But I mean, you go down the lineup, 141, they'll have Vance Bombar, who's number 8 in the country, at 157, likely Tommy Askey, who's number 8 in the country. They have a really talented freshman if they don't want to go with him either. Max McAnally at 84, he's number 4 in the country. Isaiah Salazar, number 8, 197 pounds. I mean, they're going to get tested. Iowa's going to get tested, but the good thing for them is it looks like they're getting some health back. Ja'Cory Teamer was the lone listed starter at 157. Nelson Brands, who's been out, and Tom Brands has alluded to injury there for him, has been out since December. I think the last time he wrestled was against Ballerbine, or maybe shortly after that against the Navy or against Army in those duels. But he's back in the probables for the first time since December of last year. So getting some health back, I think, is good for them. They're going to, you know, lean as the favorites, but Minnesota's really deep. This duel could be really, really interesting. And, you know, I think we saw against Penn State how Ben Keeter against Greg Kirkfleet, a guy in Kirkfleet's kind of got that big size advantage, and he really was able to just really just hold on to Ben Keeter, get the bonus points with a couple takedowns and kind of just ride him out. Gable Steveson's kind of got that same ability and also the athleticism and strength to match a guy like Ben Keeter. So there's some opportunity for bonus points there that you don't usually expect. And they're going to have to be ready to go, that's for sure. And I'm excited to see that one. I think that's probably one of the most competitive duels you'll see this weekend across college wrestling.
What was the message you heard from the Hawkeyes this week, coming off the win over Nebraska, but closer than maybe most expected? I know Tom Brands wasn't satisfied after the win on Friday night against the Huskers. You mentioned needing to be ready to go. We hear Tom Brands say that quite a bit, but was there a little extra emphasis this week on that, maybe going into a rivalry duel like Minnesota?
Yeah, I mean, his message was score points in bushelful. That was the quote he used, I believe, and it's they're going to need it. This Minnesota team across the lineup's got a lot of guys who can score, and they have a lot of guys who are tough. So you're going to have to go out, and you're going to have to wrestle your match and score a lot of points, and that's been the emphasis. And what they didn't have against Nebraska was, you know, just a consistent effort across the whole board. I mean, you look at what Stephen Buchanan did. I mean, what a moment for that guy in Carver Hawkeye Arena for him to go out and get a pin and help them win, you know, there late. Ben Keeter, again, the major decision was pretty solid for him, right? But you didn't get that from across the 10 weight. And, you know, Parco had a really big win against Reg Lovett too, but you didn't have that at 74 and 84 or last weekend. So they need consistency across the 10 weights. It's just something you can't have against Minnesota. You can't have it against Nebraska and expect to, you know, walk out of there with an easy victory. So if they're going to need consistency across those 10 weights, and they're going to have to be active on offense because Minnesota's got a lot of offense of their own too.
Eli, before I let you go, what can folks find from you on the Register website and in the Des Moines Register when it comes to covering both high school and college wrestling here down the stretch?
Yeah, it's obviously a busy, busy time in wrestling. We got some preview coverage up for this weekend of duels. We'll continue to have that throughout the rest of the regular season and the postseason. And you can find our coverage. You'll find some features on the season as well. And we're getting into state tournament time. That's already next week for the boys. We just wrapped up with the girls. We have a lot of content up on there about the girls' state tournament. That was a phenomenal event and always a fun one to cover. But the Mammoth of the boys' tournament is coming next week. We'll have some features and some, you know, pre-state tournament coverage to get you all set up and prepared to know who's who and what teams to watch. And it's going to be a fun couple of weeks here as we wrap up the wrestling season.
Cool, Eli. Thanks. We'll talk to you again soon.
Awesome. Thank you.